Bibles with me to 2 Samuel, chapter 13, and we'll start reading around 33, something like that. And while you're turning that, just a few announcements. We want to continue to pray for our brother Michael out there in Ohio for speedy recovery. We also want to continue to pray for the Chassons, amen, Brother Forrest Chasson, who went in for a procedure. We're going to continue to lift him up. Amen. If you didn't get to be a part of the Key of David, you want to sign up and be a part, amen, because the website is live. And James Malvo was telling me that he's updating the files, amen. We're going to get the cards going, amen, and we're going to make some capital together. We're going to bless each other. We're going to be a blessing to one another. Because every time you bless Israel, God going to bless you. We're going to be a blessing to one another, amen. All Hebrews and Hebrew-loving people, we're going to be a blessing to one another, amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget, Friday is the PMG signing party, amen. So we want you all to come on out to that and have a good time with us, amen. I'm believing there's going to be some ministry and music that's going to happen, and so you can come and enjoy a free show. Somebody say free. Yeah. And not only a free show, free food. Somebody say free. But don't come out there to get full now. All right? Just a little bit of a little something, you know, just a little something, something. All right, let's see what else we got. Amen. And church anniversary is going to be coming up in April. Last but not least, tomorrow, new members class. Y'all can come to that. Amen. And hallelujah, officially become a part of Philly. And I think that's about it. Love, you got any other announcements? All right. Let's look at our Bibles in 2 Samuel 13. And let's start off on verse 33. And we'll just read a little bit. We're not going to be long tonight because we're just finishing a lesson that we already started. Amen. So don't be mad at me if we're not too long. The Bible says, y'all laughing. I'm serious. I'm serious. In 33, it says, now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's son came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. And the Bible says, we can stop right there. Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. Saints, where we are in the text, you remember we're in 2 Samuel. Amen. Amnon was burning up with lust for his own half-sister. Amen. Jonadab came up with the plan for him to get her alone. If you remember, David agreed to it, sent Tamar over there. She cooks for him. Amnon puts everybody out. He grabs his sister. He says, lie with me. She's a very godly young lady. Amen. Probably one of the best children that David would have. Amen. She refuses, gives him a litany of different reasons why he shouldn't do it. Amen. He'll ruin his life. He'll ruin her life. Amen. The things shouldn't be done in Israel. But logic and reason, amen, would not prevail against the intensity of his lust. And so he forced her, the Bible says. He actually rapes her, puts her out of his house. Amen. She tears her garment, put ashes upon her head, and she begins to cry, publicly exposing him. Absalom, her older brother, hears about it. He tells her, come on, live with me. Don't worry about it. Things gonna settle itself out. David hears about it. He does absolutely nothing. He does nothing as, amen, the commander-in-chief, the juridical, amen, authority of that day. He does nothing in his official capacity as the state, Nothing is in his capacity as Amnon's father. He does absolutely nothing in his capacity to protect his own daughter. Amen. He gets mad, but he does nothing. And since there was no justice done, amen, it gave rise to a vigilante justice, a self-serving justice, a revenge that was already in the heart of Absalom. And so Absalom didn't say anything good or bad for a full 2 years. He comes up to David. He says, David, or daddy, come on to my sheep shearing party. He knew David would say no. David said no. He said, well, can Absalom come? You know what I'm saying? Bring Absalom. And David said, why Absalom? But he lets Absalom go anyway. Well, at the party that night, amen, Amnon gets drunk. And Absalom gives his men the signal, and they slay him. They kill him. They murder him. First degree, amen, on the spot. The rest of David's sons get on their mules, amen. I thought that was funny. They get on their mules, and they speed away. You know what I'm saying? David hears some fake news. Somebody say fake news. Yeah, they had some fake news even back then. And David heard some fake news about all of his sons dying, being murdered and killed, amen. But it was a bad report. And we talked about whose report shall you believe. And don't ever believe nothing bad unless you hear it two or three times. Amen. Because the devil has a report for you and God has a report for you. Amen. So don't be too quick to hear the bad and, and believe the bad. Hallelujah. And then we talked about Jonadab coming up next to David. And Jonadab comforting David and helping David out in this situation. And we warned you that sometimes people can do you good, but they still backstabbers. They still Judases. They still Delilahs. Amen. They still Absaloms. And so that's what Jonadab was. And we went through all of that. After we looked at Jonadab, hallelujah, the second point we talked about, for Amnon only is dead. And we saw that Jonadab really didn't care about Amnon. Amen. He saw Amnon as a means to a way. Amen. And so he didn't really love Amnon at all. He says only Amnon is dead. And then he says Absalom had it in his heart. It was his plan all the while. Remember when he said that? And we deduce, we say, man, if you knew Absalom had that in his heart the whole time, why in the world you ain't tell nobody about that thing, man? You could have tell Absalom, you could have tell Amnon, Amnon, don't you go to that boy's house. That boy want to kill you. I don't care what type of liquor he's serving. All right? Or he could have went to David and just say, Your Majesty, I hear that you're sending Amnon over to his brother Absalom's house. I have good information, good reason to believe that this is a setup. This is an ambush, and it's going to be for Amnon's life. But he didn't say anything. And we just challenged you last time that if you see someone, amen, in the way of danger, you got to open your mouth. You can't be one of the watchmen, amen, that let people go headlong to destruction. And the most important area that we must do this is in the area of eternity, in the area of heaven and hell, and in the area of the gospel. We warn people. We tell them, amen. We tell them that the wages of sin is death. We tell them that Jesus came and died for their sins. And so we cannot be Jonadab, my friends. We got to open our mouth. The watchmen have to sound the alarm. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So tonight, we just want to finish this lesson up, and we're just going to cover this one last point, and then we're going to go home and go to bed early. Hey, how many people? Y'all's good with y'all? All right. Go ahead and rest my voice, rest everything, all right? The Bible says in this third point, as thy servant said. That's the tag for the third point. And we just want to look at verse 33 again. The Bible says, now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon only is dead. Now therefore, let not my lord, let's see, I read that already. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. So what we have here, amen, is all the sons of David coming back, amen, to Jerusalem. And remember, David thought that all of his sons were dead. He already tore his garments. He's on the ground. Jonadab is talking to him. But you know, when you're grieving, somebody trying to tell you something, you can barely hear what they're saying, you know. And all of a sudden, the watchman signals that some people are coming, and David looks. And at that moment, David goes from extreme grief to extreme exhilaration, yo. He was ecstatic, amen, that all of his sons were not dead. And at that moment, amen, we can see that God really spared David's sons. And once again, I need to repeat, amen, that you have a good God, Philadelphia, amen, who has not dealt with us according to what our sins deserve, amen. A good God, amen, who always, even in judgment, when he's judging us for the wrongs that we do, even if you don't want to call it judgment, you can call it chastisement, amen, he really don't give us what we deserve. And David is reminded of that, amen, even at this very moment. When he looks up, you see, because you see, sometimes you know you deserve the worst. He had killed Uriah. He had committed. So in his heart, when he heard about the murder of all his sons, part of the reason he believed it because he knew he deserved that. And when he heard the news, I know it probably echoed in his mind Nathan's prophecy, the sword shall never depart from thy house. You know what I'm saying? And just imagining David just weeping and crying and like, Lord, I brought this upon myself, all my family, all of this judgment is all my fault. And at the lowest point of his grief, he look up and mercy coming upside the hill. You understand what I'm saying? Just mercy coming upside. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, man. God always remembers mercy. You know what I'm saying? He's a wonderful, merciful Father. And I want to tell you, that's why in the end of days when he judges the world, saints, amen. You see how long he waiting to judge wickedness and evil? You see how slow he is? You know? He's so long-suffering. I dare to say if one of us was God, we would have done in this thing long time ago. All right? But he's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. Not willing, the Bible say, that any should perish. That's why when he finally come down, the heavens going to declare, just and true are all thy ways, O King of Saints. You only giving people what they really wanted. Amen. Because he's been stretching out his hand in grace and mercy for a long time, TP. You understand what I'm saying? He give us, man, he give us a gospel that's free. He said, whosoever will come. You ain't got to pay anything. You don't have to know anything. You know what I'm saying? In fact, you never even started the process. He initiates the process. He said, all day long, I stretch forth my hand to a gainsaying and rebellious people. It's not that we first love God. It's that he first loved us. That's how powerful his mercy and his love is and his grace is. You know what I'm saying? And so the gospel that we teach is a gospel of, hallelujah, a pursuing God. Amen. We don't pursue him. He pursues us. He tells us, he says, you might think you chose me, but you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You understand what I'm saying? I came looking for you. Adam wasn't God. I need you. God. No. He come out. Adam, where art thou? That's the type of God he is. A loving God, a merciful God. When we are the ones who have done him wrong. Now, that's one thing, man. You know what I'm saying? When you do somebody wrong and you go out to make amends. But it's another when somebody do you wrong and you go to make amends with them. That's the type of loving God that we have. Amen. And that's what he does with us. He came looking for us. Amen. The Bible says he come get us while we were sinners. The Bible says while we were without strength. Amen. The Bible says he passed by. He saw us lying in our blood, in our mess. And that's when he said to us, live. That's when he give us the gospel. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And I tell people all the time, I'm telling you, I didn't find God. God found me. Do you understand what I'm saying? God was the last thing on my mind, Billy Clee. Preaching was not on Pastor Omar's mind. Pastoring was not on Pastor Omar's mind. I dare say that one of the only things that was on my mind was that little lady I had at UL at the time that's sitting on the front row. That was all that was on my mind. You know what I'm saying? And he come get me. You know? How many people could say that God came get him? Huh? Always in judgment, remembering mercy. And I'm telling you, I know that David's heart must have been full. You know? Just so full when he saw his sons coming up that hillside. You know? And the Bible tells us in verse 35, while David is in this surreal moment of ecstasy, of just so much thankfulness and gratitude, Jonadab said unto him, unto the king, behold, the king's son come, as thy servant said, so it is. You know? And what that made me think about was that Jonadab was robbing this moment from God. You see? Jonadab was robbing this moment from God. Right when David should have looked up and said, oh, thank you, Father, for your mercy, Jonadab steps in the way. It was like I said so. He was stealing the glory. It was a pride thing. You know what I'm saying? It was a pride thing. Almost like saying, I did this. Yeah, you did this, all right, Jonadab. You did this. You did it. You was the cause of this thing. You did it. You the one put Tamar over there. You did it. And he won't come and claim the glory for the good that come out of this. You know what I'm saying? And I want to tell you that Jonadab is, amen, trying to pull himself up in the kingdom right here. You see? He tell David, your sons are coming as thy servant said. I'm your servant, David. And I just have here in my notes, Jonadab is not David's servant. If he was David's servant, he would have told Amnon better about wanting to be with his sister. If he was David's servant, he would have told Absalom better about wanting to kill his brother. If he was David's servant, he would have told David of Absalom's intentions. Amen. He was nobody's servant, saints, but his own servant. Amen. Anybody hear me up in him? All right. And that begs the question that I have for you tonight. Whose servant are you? Whose servant are you? Huh? Are you serving somebody? See, because if you can't answer that question, if you're not serving somebody, amen, then you serving yourself. And you're really serving the devil. I just want to ask you, whose servant are you tonight? All right? All right? Now, all of us, the answer to that question should be, number one, I am God's servant. Amen? Amen? Remember we were singing, hallelujah, I just want to serve you, Lord? I'm God's servant. That's the first thing. I'm God's servant. Amen? And that's who we serve. That's the number one person we serve. Now, besides that, God's going to put you in some situations where you're going to serve people, amen, that's serving God. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Because I don't want you to think that you only serve God, because what about your boss at work? What about your husband at home? What about anybody hear me up in here? So I want to ask you, whose servant are you? Do you have like a, would you say, God is my servant? But do you have people that you serve under God? Oh, now look, they don't want to clap for that. They like, I don't want to clap for that. You know what I'm saying? I wish we had time. We would go to Ephesians and Colossians when the Bible says, servants, obey your masters. When it's really talking about employees, serve, obey your employers. I'm just saying, we're not even to what I really want to get to. But who you serving? Don't you know that when you serve somebody, it's a reflection of the God that's in you? And when you serve somebody, you're really serving God. Woman of God, when you serve that husband who's an authority that God put in your life, every time you serve that husband, you're serving God. Thank you, Miss Owl. I appreciate that. You're the only one that's with me up in here. I didn't get no clap from Destiny, nothing. Destiny ain't clap. I didn't hear nothing from your sister either, Des. Thank you, baby. Thank you. All right. We're going to move on from that servant. But remember, y'all, he's trying to get himself up in the kingdom. The first time we noticed it was with Amnon himself. And so he sees Amnon not happy, and he knows Amnon is the heir apparent. He's the one that's going to be the next king. So he kind of tries to kiss up to him. Amnon, what's wrong with you, man? Why are you so sad? Why are you so downcast? You know? And that's when he tries to get on Amnon's good side. I'm going to figure out a way for you to get next to Tamar. But it was all in a plot to be that second man for Amnon. Here we have Amnon out the picture, and Jonadab is going straight to David, standing next to David, got himself so close next to David, and telling David, listen, it's happening just like I told you, David. And all he's trying to do is kiss up, butter up, so that he can move up in the kingdom. This right here, saints, is another example of Jonadab's selfish ambition. Say it with me, selfish ambition. We talked about this about 4 months ago in September, all right? And I'm going to bring it up again. I'm going to bring it up again, amen, because, hallelujah, we need to be reminded. I'm telling you right now, it's our season. And doors are opening. You're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. And your pastor wants you to have ambition, meaning go get it. Be the best that you could be. Work the hardest that you ever worked. And be the most excellent that you can be. All right? You got to be the cream of the crop. You got to be the best in Lafayette. You gotta stand apart. Amen. And it's not going to be hard. It will not be hard. Amen. It won't be hard because when we look at all of Lafayette, all of America, not too many people working and striving for excellence. That's number one. All right. So you're going to be set apart among all the nations of men. But secondarily, amen, to find Hebrews, black folk that actually want to work and achieve something, that have an anointing and a different mindset, that don't want to hand out, amen, but want to get up. Hallelujah. Listen, they're going to sit down at the table with you business-wise like I was today, and they're going to look at you like an anomaly. Like, where you from? And you tell them, Macomb. And they're going to say, what part of Macomb? What street? Because wherever y'all from, you can stand out. You can stand out. Kev, you know what I'm talking about. You can stand out. The opportunity. We have an amazing opportunity before us. You know? You just got to want it and you got to get it. You understand what I'm saying? You got to want it. Amen? You can't be content. You can't be like, I'm happy where I'm at. I want to stay in this low condition. I want to stay not knowing nothing. I want to stay getting this little handout from the government that's going to buy me a pack of meat and a piece of chicken. No. Stop living off of people crumbs and walk and inherit your territory. Why in the world you going to be happy with the melons and the leeks of Egypt when he done given you a promised land flowing with milk and honey? You got to walk out and possess the land. That's all the melons was, huh, prophetess? All the melons, all that was state money. That was state money. Egypt was taking care of the Israelites. And when Moses brought them out to go and get it themselves, they said, we missed the melons. And I'm not, you know, if you got to be on that, amen, because of disability or, that's fine. But what I am against is well-bodied, full-figured. Well, not maybe full-figured, but you know what I'm saying. Full-figured, yeah. Healthy Hebrews. Did I say full-figured? I'm letting the Holy Ghost do it. How you going to be riding during the day and see them boys in their pajamas? How poor can them boy you ride on a boy in them pajamas? What are you doing? It's the middle of the day, you got slippers on. You're still on melons and leeks. You're still on melons and leaves. So it's our season. We're going to be blessed. I want you to have ambition. I want you to dream and reach for the stars. Amen. And realize, amen, that nothing is impossible for those who believe. Amen. You've been given a mandate, amen, and you becoming all that God told us we would be in the scriptures is not even on you. It don't depend on you. I'm not telling you what you got to do. I'm telling you who you are. It's who you are. You just be what the Bible say you're going to be, and everything else going to find. It's who you are. You just got to wake up and just go. Just go, just walk. It's going to happen. I'm just describing you. And it will happen because it's been promised. You know, so ambition is what we want. All right. And ambition is going to bless your family. It's going to bless the families around you. It's going to bless our church. Amen. You think we're going to be struggling to finish a school when y'all get ambition and start doing some things? One of y'all going to walk up in here and say, Pastor, forget about that. Here, finish the school, man. One of y'all going to come in and do that. It's going to be you, minister. Huh? Man, they'll say, yeah. It's going to be you, big brother. Who is going to be? I'm looking for a Joseph up in here. A Daniel. Somebody with a king's anointing. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You going to do it, Malvo? Thank you, Jesus. So ambition is good. But the problem that we are having is like Jonadab. Remember, have ambition, but do not have selfish ambition. Don't make it selfish ambition. You see, the difference between ambition and selfish ambition is that selfish ambition says, I'm going to get to the top no matter who, no matter what, no matter how. All right? And I don't want you to be like that. Don't be dog eat dog. All right? You see, that was Jacob's problem. You know, let me prophesy to you. Jacob had the promise that he would be the chosen seed. While it was yet in the womb, God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. While they was yet in the womb, the Bible says that God said, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob had the promise. But the problem was that Jacob was caught up with what he saw instead of what God had said. And that's some of y'all in here. You see? You caught up in what you see for the right now instead of what the Lord has said about you. So I remember being there. I remember sitting on my porch crying about what I saw. What I saw in my finances, what I saw in my law practice at the time. I remember being there and crying. I was like, God, what you said is not lining up with what I see. Oh, anybody ever felt that way before? All right. And it's at that time when your faith, amen, is going to be tested. You're going to see if what you believe is real or if it's fake. Amen. And a lot of the times, before you march into the promised land, amen, you got to have the faith that God going to get you there. You understand what I'm saying? The march ain't even going to start until you believe. When they didn't believe, he turned them around. When they got caught up in what they saw instead of what he said, y'all not ready yet. Because the faith got to come before the inheritance. The belief has to come before the inheritance. God ain't going to give it to you first and then say, now you believe me? It's the opposite. It's do you believe me? Do you believe that where you are right now is just a transition? Do you believe that where you are right now is just a bridge? Amen. Do you believe that? Because where you are right now, amen, is not the end of the story. Amen. It's just a, hey, God, you at the end of one chapter and a new chapter is the beginning. But if you believe that the end of that chapter is the end of the story, then God can work with that. Where are you in your book? You know what I'm saying? Where are you? You see? And you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When Jesus went to a place and there was no faith, when they didn't believe that their situation can change based upon the promises of God, then Jesus couldn't do miracles. So I'm wondering here, if God passing by some of y'all, asking, do they believe what I had said about them? And if they believe what I have said, then that faith is going to be accounted for something. That faith is going to move mountains. That faith is going to pluck up trees. That faith, hallelujah, is going to make the impossible possible. That faith is going to get God moving. I don't know where I'm at right now, but what I'm saying? I'm just prophesying. I'm just going off and hoping that you understand what kind of season we in right now. You got to believe him, man. Where you are right now, what's going on in your life, is like we come on the radio or the TV. This is only a test of the emergency broadcast system. It's only a test. But you got to get through the test. You got to believe him. You know what I'm saying? So we going places. All right? We going places. Now, the problem with Jacob is Jacob had the promise. Amen. But Jacob would. The promise means God is going to do it. Not by might, nor by strength or power. He said, but by my spirit, say the Lord. It means that he's going to do it. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. Amen. And a lot of times, God just wants you to show up. Come to the table. He told Moses, just walk towards the sea. Just act like I'm going to meet you there. Just show up. Don't stay home. Don't stay in your pajamas with your slippers and stay in front of the projects. Go to the job. Ask for the raise. Go, you know what I'm saying? Like, show up. Just open the business. Just give me a bucket to pour into. Give me the little loaves and fish that you got. Just give me something to work with. I can create, but give me the dirt to form man out of. He gonna do it. Jacob's problem was, I have the promise, but God needs a little help. So from the day he was born, which his name Jacob means usurper, a person who tries to take a position that was not given to him. All right? Usurper, supplanter. From the day that Jacob was born, when Esau came out first, Jacob put his hand on Esau's heel as though to pull Esau back. That's my place. I want to be first. Jacob, you imbecile. The promise says the elder shall serve the younger. You about to pull yourself out of the promise. I wonder how many Jacobs we got in here. Because of selfish ambition, you trying to run over people. You trying to just see people as a means to an end. You know what I'm saying? You're not even looking at the pieces. You're looking at the board where you want to be. And everybody pawns on your chessboard. You know? That's Jonadab. That's Jacob. Now I'm going to tell you something about Jacob. In Jacob's life, is not just in his birth, but when he went in and disguised himself like Esau. Y'all remember that? Paul put goat skin on himself, disguised his voice. What you going in there and doing that for? You already got the blessing. They don't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, one of the things that you're going to have to learn as you enter this season of blessing is that you ain't going to have to take nothing. Everything is going to be blessing. It's going to be given to you. You know what I'm saying? You be assertive. You show up. You work hard. Amen. Because God ain't going to bless no lazy person. You show up, you work hard, amen, and God's promise is going to kick in your life. You ain't got to fight. You ain't got to struggle. You ain't got to cut nobody ties. You ain't got to go report nobody. You ain't got to, you don't have to do any of that. It's already yours. And that's what Jonadab was doing. That's what Jonadab was doing, getting close to David, trying to advise David, you know? And that's what people on the job do. Y'all met people like that. Trying to use you as a step, you know? Aristotle says selfish ambition are those who procure office, rank, honor by illegal manipulation. You know what I'm saying? You know? And the selfish, ambitious person, they operate on the premise by any means necessary. You know? And that might sound good and look good on a shirt, but that's not how you want to live your life. All right? And one of the reasons is because what the Bible says, what goes around comes around. You understand what I'm saying? Jacob's life was so hard because of his ways. So hard. And I wish you would just do a study of Jacob on your individual time and just see how much harder he made his life. The promise paves a smooth way for us. Amen. Amen. But when we get off the promise and start straining with self, now you got Esau wanting to kill you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got Laban chasing you out of his country and Esau waiting for you when you get in this country. You know what I'm saying? When you could have got it without all of that. All right. All right. Selfish ambition. Man, the time fly when you're having fun. Listen to me. And that's what we see in the disciples in Luke 22, 24. Because, you know, this thing is even in good people. Well, we want to be number one, you know. And the disciples, they were arguing, and Jesus would always ask, what y'all arguing about? And the Bible says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted to be the greatest? You see? And that's when Jesus said, now y'all got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. You know? Don't strive to be the greatest and put other people under you. You know? The kingdom worked the opposite. The way up in the kingdom is down. All right? It's like that little game they play. Hello? Can you go? That's Christianity. And the one that can get the lowest wins. You hear me? You hear me? That's why Jesus won. That's why Jesus won. Because he got the lowest. And our job, we can't win the lowest because he's already the lowest. That lowest brought him to the highest. But we can we fighting for second right now. You know what I'm saying? How low can you go? Because he say, so shall it not be among you. But the chiefest among you going to be your servant. And the greatest among you going to be the least. You know? That's the way it is in the kingdom. You know, we don't try to put each other down and put people under us and show that we're better than somebody. The very fact that we're trying to show we better shows that our spiritual condition is worse. The most mature person out of the people that's competing is the one that's not competing at all. Do you understand that? The person that's not trying to show their knowledge and not trying to act like that they the best. That's the one that if you watch them, they're going to have the most mature fruit and they're going to be the ones that's the most mature in the faith. You know? Learn the economy of the kingdom. It's not America, man. It's not cutthroat corporate America. That's not how you get your own 12. That's not how you lead a ministry. That's not how you become a minister. And that's sure not how you become a pastor. The greatest of these shall be the least of these. That's how it works. Selfish ambition is the wrong way. Now listen to me good, all right? Jonadab had selfish ambition. And he wanted to get to the top, all right? But whenever you have selfish ambition, you're trying to get to the top, the very opposite is going to happen. Because the way down in the kingdom is to put yourself up. And immediately when you start putting yourself up by your own strength, by your own knowledge, God has a law in heaven. He has a law written across heaven. The law is, everyone that is proud, I will abase. That's what God says. You remember that little game we used to play at Showbiz Pizza? Whichever of them little ugly monsters pop their head up, you whack them as hard as you can and knock them back down. They got that game from God. Because whichever one of us ugly little monsters pop pop our head up like we something. God is going to take his whacker. Wow. Knock us right back down. Look, get back down there. Get back down there. And some of y'all take more than one lick. All right? That's the parable. Let me give you the scripture that illustrates that. In the Bible, in Luke, look what it says. Y'all know it. In Luke 14, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. We're going to knock you to the ground, he said. If you exalt yourself, it's okay to have ambition and want to do great things and to work hard, but if you try to put yourself up when you have not been called up, if you try to kick a door open that has not been opened to you, you know what I'm saying? Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. This is a law in the heavens. Learn the laws of the heavens. You see? Learn the laws of the heavens. If you learn the laws of the heavens, you're going to operate in his kingdom with such wisdom that promotion and blessings going to come upon you, because you're going to know how to operate in the heavens and in the kingdom and the spiritual. You're going to know the rules of the game. It's kind of like knowing the rules of basketball. You will be able to get the ball up and down the court. You'll be able to score, hallelujah, when you know the rules. You know you can't double dribble. You can't grab the ball and run. What that is? Travel. That's right. And when you know the rules, amen, and people that know the rules really well can move up to just basic basketball from just knowing the rules, okay, dribble, walk, dribble, walk. They know the rules so well, they can dribble, they can walk, they can poof, right between their legs. They can shake and they can bake. They can do all kind of fancy stuff around the back. They can lay up. They can dunk. Why? Because they know the fundamentals. They know the rules. Do you know the rules of the kingdom well enough? Because sometimes every time you move, God calling someone. Pride. You know what I'm saying? This selfish ambition. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. But here's the flip side of that rule. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Oh, man, I love that. I love that. I love that. And the shall, amen, is a promise. All right? You know when somebody tells us something bad, is that a threat? Huh? Is that a threat? And you tell them, no, it's not a threat. It's a promise. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you know what I'm saying? And that's a promise. You know what I'm saying? You can take it how you want it. I think that the first one is a threat. Don't be proud. The second one is a promise, man. I mean that if you get low and work hard and do what you got to do, listen, the result of that is going to be exaltation. And I just love it, man. I just love it. Listen, let's hurry up. We got to go. Now, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Beautiful, beautiful soliloquy of scripture. My cousin, you're laughing at me. You said we was going to be early. I just love y'all company so much. Man. And I didn't even have much tonight. But, you know, when God get his people together, you know what I'm saying? Look what he said. I love this scripture. Me and a brother was just talking about this scripture the other day, and it just blessed me. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. And that's the spiritual elders, of course. Yea, all be subject to one another. And this is what we want to get to. He says, and be clothed with humility. You know, be clothed with it. That means put it on before you leave the house. Same way you wouldn't go out, you know what I'm saying, without clothing yourself. Well, some of y'all still saved, y'all not delivered. But what we supposed to do is put clothes on before we leave the house. Spiritually, before we leave the house, he said, after you put on everything you want put on, cool water, cologne, whatever, he said, make sure you put on humility. To get low. To get low. I'm nobody, I'm nothing. He is everything. You understand what I'm saying? He everything. He have just get low. You know what I'm saying? And you wanna put it on. And I remember a long time ago at Bible study, I say put it on and tie it on tight. Because people are gonna test your humility. And the people that test your humility the most are the proud. Because they come to you acting like something. And you know they ain't even nothing. You know what I'm saying? They ain't nothing. They ain't done nothing. They ain't been nowhere. And you just want to tell them, like, my boy. My God. But you don't want to say that because then you would be being proud. You know? You know what I'm saying? They come to you on the court and they're like, oh, I'm all that. And you're like, my boy. Listen. I beat you in 21. You won't know the game started. You know what I'm saying? But you can't say that. Okay, Cam, you can't say that. But so they test our humility. So you put your humility on and you tie it tight. And you walk out that door. You know? All right, come on, listen. He said, put on humility. Why? For God resisted the proud. You know, that means that God is like a giant turbine pushing wind so strong that you can see. And every time you're proud, that turbine turns on and opposes you and resists you so you can't get where you want to go. When you're proud, it turns the turbine on. When you're humble, it turns it off. You turn it on. You can't get no. My wife like, "Boy, you," but I'm trying to help them, man. I'm trying to help. This is the only way they can understand. So when you're proud, that's it. You can't, and that's why you don't. You get nothing accomplished. You're bragging too much. You're talking too much. And you done talk about all your business. And it never happens. Nothing never happens. I'm going to get this. And I'm going to do that. You bragging more before you get it than when you got it. And so you're bragging. And then it never happened. It just never happened. Why? Because he resisted the proud. But look what it said. He give it grace to the humble. You know what that means? You know what that means? He turned the turbine off. And he put it behind you. Not only is he no longer stopping you, but he's helping you. Woo! All right, listen. Jonadab, through pride and selfish ambition, tried to acquire something that he never got. Tried to achieve something that he never achieved. And the problem was not the desire to be there. The problem was the road he took to get it. We can all want great things, but the way you take to get it, all right? We're living in a world where it's teaching our youngsters that the ends justify the means, but that's not the Bible way. You see? The end justify the means. They're saying as long as you get it the way you do it, don't matter. Oh, no. Really, the way is almost all that matters. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? Because it's going to separate who you are and which side you're on. Now, Miss Karen, when we studied Jonadab, after this occurrence right here, we never hear of him again. He completely disappears from the annals of scripture and even of history. There is not another mention of him. It's almost like you want to say that David discerned him and say, chop his head off and let's leave him right here. But not that would be speculation. But what we do know is that his selfish ambition, his pride, his hunger for position resulted in him not getting a position at all and being erased from anything that has to do with greatness. He's absolutely gone. In fact, before this series, you hadn't even really heard of a Jonadab. He's not a household name. He's a nobody. Why? Because of his pride and selfish ambition. Listen to me good. Listen to me good. Don't let that happen to you. Stay low. The proud man wants a position. And so he does anything he can. He wants that position. He tries to get it, amen, and usually he don't, but sometimes he may. The humble man want the position too. But he ain't going to hurt nobody. He going to work hard. He going to pray in his secret place. Amen. He in secret. And God going to reward him openly. And he going to pray. And he's not going to stab nobody in the back. And he's not going to let nobody get murdered. She's not going to do none of that stuff. All right? And this scripture teaches us that being that humble man or woman not only going to get that position, they may even get a higher one. You understand what I'm saying? He give it grace. He give it favor. He give it lanyap. He give it extra. Anybody ever been in a place where you got better than what you deserve? You didn't even deserve that. I didn't even deserve to be a pastor. I just wanted to teach Sunday school. Me, I just wanted to vacuum the floor sometime. I wanted to pass the bucket, collect the money sometime. I wanted to usher in church. That's all I wanted. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted, Lord. Just put me in the back somewhere. Make me a door. They ain't got to say my name. They don't have to know my name. Just put me back there somewhere. And when he see that in you, he give it grace. He give it grace. Give you that which you don't deserve. He give grace unto the humble. I don't want to be where my strength can get me. My strength can't get me nowhere. I don't want to be where my knowledge can get me. My knowledge can get me nowhere. I want God to put me in places with people that I can't get to. And it's only going to come if I'm ambitious, but not selfishly ambitious. If I'm hungry, but I'm not proud and I'm low. God says this. Listen, we got to go, boy. Y'all keeping me up in here. Y'all keeping me. He says in 6, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. He may exalt you. Oh, God, have mercy. Hey! He may exalt you. Yeah. He will do it now. In due time. Now wait. Y'all want to know about due time? Okay, y'all got a few more minutes left? What's due time? Due time is his time. Due time is the right time. Due time is the perfect time. Due time is when he ready, and due time is when you ready, and due time is when the people around are ready. Everybody ready. Everybody ready. Everything lined up. It is the due time. There could be no better time. Everything is on time. Everything is right on time. It's the due time. If you had to pick a time, you couldn't pick a better time than due time. If you had to go back and say, God, I would do this again, but I'd pick, there could be no better time. It's the fullness of time, this due time. It's when everything aligns and God had called you up. And it's right on time. Nobody could take it from you. Nobody could say that you stole it. Nothing. What does due time look like? Due time looks like David walking up to the battlefield.
And right when David walking up, Goliath steps out. That's what due time looked like. Due time looked like Goliath saying, everybody in the arm of the Lord is a bunch of wimps and can't do nothing. And due time is David walking up and hearing that. It's due time because not only did God prepare David, he prepared an enemy fit for David. An enemy that only David could destroy and take out. Nobody else could take out that enemy but David. They couldn't run up on Goliath. He was too big. They couldn't poke him. He had too much armor. He was too strong. God had prepared a due time enemy for a due time man, for a due time kingdom. That's what due time looked like. A sword couldn't kill Goliath. A spear couldn't take Goliath. Only a little shepherd boy, David height, with David's skill set, with a sling and a stone. Only a little David, a little shepherd boy, because nobody else could do it. That's what due time looked like. That's what due time looked like. You see, when God exalts you, the time is going to be ready for you. There's going to be a Goliath that only you can take. An enemy that the rest of the people of God going to shake and shiver looking at the magnanimity of the matter. I think I just made up a word, but that's all right. My baby going to spell check me when I get home. The magnanimous nature. But when everybody running, if you have been prepared and it is your due time, you will not run and you will not fear because you have been prepared. When everybody else was running and trying to be something that they wasn't, you was where you were supposed to be. In the field, when nobody else wanted to go, you were smelling the sheep. But in that field where nobody else wanted to be, God could prepare you to be a king because you knew how to shepherd the flock of God because you could shepherd the sheep. And you knew how to deal with great enemies because the Lord that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and out of the hand of the bear is the same God that's going to deliver me from this Philistine. I've been prepared. I've been prepared. I'm here. He's here. And it's due time. Woo! That's what due time look like. And you don't want to move when it's your time. You want to move when it's due time. So no selfish ambition. Ambition, yes. No selfish ambition. No by any means necessary. You work hard, you pray hard, you stay low, you be humble. And when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, my God shall exalt you in due time. Come on, give the Lord some glory, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you so much, God, for your presence here, and we thank you for your promises to your people. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you make us due time, saints, God, that we're able to wait upon your time. And for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, and wait upon the Lord. Lord, let us wait, Lord God. Let us wait, Lord God, because you know what you're doing. Let us wait, Lord God. Wait for that blessing. Wait for that marriage. Wait for them children. Wait, 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 wait. We know, God, that though the vision tarry, it shall certainly come to pass. We know, Lord God, that as we wait, hey, we shall not be ashamed, Lord God. You will not make us fools, O King. But every promise is yes and amen. And as sure as the sun rises and the sun sets, your promises are more to be dependent upon than the heavenly bodies and their circuits. And we trust you, Daddy.
We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our future. We trust you with our dreams. We trust you tonight. You will not have to set us back another 40 years. We will believe you, Lord. We will believe you. And we will not satisfy ourselves with the leeks and the melons. We're not going to look for anybody else to bless us but you, God. Because as they bless us, they will only keep us down. But when you bless us, woo, for the blessings of the Lord, hallelujah, they make it rich and added no sorrow. God, we thank you, Father God. We want you to bless us. We say like Abraham, we don't want the blessings of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord is my portion tonight. The Lord is my portion. He is my reward. My strong tower, my strong city, and I'm going to wait upon him. God, I'm going to wait upon him. I'm going to wait upon him. Father, bless your people in this season, God. I pray, knowing that the devil is trying to run interference right now. I plead the blood of Jesus on your people and pray that no weapon formed against them prosper. I pray that they see that what the enemy is doing is just fog and clouds and fluff and nothing. Father, help us not to focus on the clouds. For he who watches the clouds don't sow. And if we don't sow, we never gonna reap. Daddy, please help us put our plows in the ground and get to work and go get it in this season. Not to worry about this and that, but to run our race. Oh, Daddy, bless us. Bless us to work hard. Change our nature, God. Make us hard workers. Father, I know there may be some who came to visit tonight and they may not have a personal relationship with you, but they heard about your mercy in the very beginning, how you come looking for us. I pray tonight they heard your footsteps around their seat tonight, looking for them. Where art thou? Where art thou? Call their name tonight, God. Choose them tonight. Save them tonight, God. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're here under the sound of my voice, and you'd say, Pastor, I want to make sure I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Just pray with me. Say, Lord, I admit I've messed up. I'm not perfect. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you are my Lord. And you are my Savior. You died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And you rose on the third day. You did it all for me. Now, Lord, I believe you and accept you as my personal Savior. Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me to do extraordinary things. Keep me humble. Let me work hard. And let me bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give God some glory.